In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory
to God. Boy, it is really good to see each one of you today. It really brings me quite a bit of joy. I often like to remember the parishioners, like, are you happy when Father Peter shows up to church? I'm like, oh, of course we are. Well, I'm also happy, and I'm sure Father Isaac is happy too, to see all of you when you're able to come. So today we are, we're right there. I mean, Lent's like right there. We're right at the door. And of course, today's also the Sunday of the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise, as we see in the icon here in the center of the church. But, you know, we talk about Adam and Eve being expelled from paradise. What comes to mind for us when we think about paradise? You know, when I was growing up, I always thinking it was like nice lush grass, a valley, you know, you never really got hungry. The fruit was never rotten, you know. You know, you can eat all the fruit you want, never gain a pound, you know, it was always young, you're always happy and all these things. Plenty of food, no problems, no traffic on the highways, nice neighbors, hamburgers that look like they do in the commercials, with a perfectly red tomato with a little glistening, you know, dew on it. But when we think about, paradise, we go back to the first humans in their primordial state in the garden before they turned their eyes away from God. They weren't just placed in the garden, they were planted in the garden. And it's a very important distinction, because that's where we find ourselves today. You know, the first humans were planted in the garden, not just to walk around and be, you know, in this nice place of paradise, to enjoy nice things, to have toll-free highways and, you know, self-checkout that you just walk through it and stuff like that. They were planted there to grow. And that symbology is throughout the scriptures. You are the vine, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, the symbology of the fig tree that withered up. All these things harken back to the fact that we are to be planted in Christ and grow in him. And if we even look at the word paradise, does anybody know what the word paradise in Greek stands for or what it means? Eden. Paradiso means Eden. The Garden of Eden was the Garden of Paradise. And you hear that sometimes in the hymnody in the church. You'll hear that that's, you know, that's, those words are used interchangeably because they are interchangeable. So when we think about that, what is paradise? The interchangeability of the words paradise and Eden. Now we remember the words of Christ to the penitent thief as he says to him, what? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will return to me to Eden, is what he's saying. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to the Garden of Eden, and you're coming with me. So where did they go that day? Well, they both died, and they both went into the ground. Great and Holy Saturday, we confess that Christ is the harrowing of hell. He didn't go to heaven. He went to Hades. So he said, today you'll be with me in paradise, which also happens to be Hades. And the reason why this strikes us as so odd, and why we're tempted to think that that day he died and he went into this paradise of bliss, and he was in this place where there was, you know, everything was perfect and everyone was nice and no babies were too loud. Everyone does everything I need them to do in paradise, right? Instead, this man went into the ground. He went into Hades. And for him, that day, it was paradise. And so that causes us, that challenges us today to really challenge our preconceptions about what paradise is. If we think of paradise as this place we go where God is off in a hill and we just have to visit him once a week and just kind of fall down and stroke his ego, and we get to go be wherever we want and never be sick and never be sorrow and never be anything like that. If that's what we think paradise is, we're on the wrong track. We're still thinking about materiality. We're still thinking about this world. We still want this world, but we just want a better version of it. We're still yearning for materiality. We're wanting food. We're wanting leisure. We're wanting peace and comfort. We want everyone to obey us and everything to go the way that we want it to go. And that's what we think paradise is. And that's wrong. What we see with the penitent thief on the cross, this man who was dying a torturous death along our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, all he wanted from Christ was to be remembered. When you come in your kingdom, remember me. He didn't say, when you come in your kingdom, give me a farm with chickens that actually lay eggs that taste good, and wolves that don't kill my chickens, or badgers, or mountain lions. He didn't say that. He said, just remember me in your kingdom. And so what we say, to be with Christ is paradise. That's paradise, my friends. It is not to get adoration from people. It's not to have that person in front of you driving 25 miles under the speed limit to go faster. That is not paradise. To enter paradise is to be with Christ, even if you're in the ground. Even if you're in Hades, if you're with Christ, you're in paradise. Because I will tell you this, I say a lot in my sermons, but if you walk away with any one thing today, it is this: Christ is paradise. It's not to get what I want. It's not to get the comfort and the food and the rest and all these other things. It is to be with Christ. So now it transforms everything. Well, if that's the case, I can go to paradise today. Yes, you can. And we're just like Adam and Eve so often that we trade paradise for something material. We trade Christ for our ego. We trade Christ for our lust. We trade Christ for our time. We trade Christ for food. We trade Christ for to get things that what we want, the way we want things, and to, instead of loving in him and walking with him in the cool of the morning as Adam and Eve did. I do it. Pretty sure you all do it too. So don't look back in time and go, man, if Adam and Eve didn't fall, you know, there wouldn't be all this horrible stuff, because we do the same thing every day. We do the same thing every day that they did. I am Adam. I am Eve. I have eaten the fruit. I have chosen something other than to be with God, than to grow in him in paradise. So then we're faced with a question today. What do you choose? The flaming sword's been taken down, by the way. It's in our hymnody. Because of Christ, we can enter paradise again. The bonds, Hades has been defeated, death has been destroyed by death. As we will find out in Pascha, we're going to rejoice. This entire building is going to be lit up with light, and will be lit up with light, and everything will be full of light on Pascha, as we remember that the flaming sword is gone and paradise is open to us today. It's open today to everyone here. There's no excuse. Well, there is actually some pretty good excuses, but don't lean on those excuses. Enter paradise today with Christ. We are planted again in Christ by him being dropping into the ground. But unless a seed falls into a ground, there can't be any new growth. And make no mistake, him entering the ground was great importance. He was planted. He took humanity that was growing and malformed and falling apart, and he planted humanity back into the ground. And we will be planted with him someday, hopefully on the property. And this is a glorious thing. We will sprout out of the ground again as new plants growing in him. And we can begin that today. That growth in him can begin today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for the resurrection. You can live that life now. You can give up all this stuff. You can turn your back on pride and ego and fear and anxiety. You can turn your back on it and run to Christ like the prodigal son did. The Lord has given us ways to start this journey back to him, this journey of redemption, this journey of salvation. He has given us things. We fell by doing what we fell by eating and disobeying. So what do we do during Lent? We give up certain foods and we obey. It was through a tree that we were enslaved, and so Christ ascended a tree so that through that tree we might be saved. He takes everything that destroyed us and tore humanity down and desecrated us and defiled us and made us lower than the animals. He took all those things and he redeemed them, and he's given them to us today. So we try to let go of some food. We try to let go of some drink. We try to ascend our cross with him so that through that cross we might be redeemed and not be condemned. and we try to obey. And through all this, we try to live. And as we enter Great Lent, we make that conscious choice every single day, every single moment, to enter paradise with Christ. I remember reading about the apostles, how they're in prisons, and they were singing hymns. And I remember as a young man reading that going, Roman prisons were awful. I mean, you think of today's prisons, they're kind of nice, honestly. Roman prisons were a pit. They're full of excrement and all sorts of awful stuff. And yet the Christians were in there. The Christians were in there singing hymns because in that prison, they were in paradise with Christ. And how much more can we obtain that today in the comfort of our own lives, in the ease? I have comfortable shoes on right now. Glory to God. We choose to return to the Garden of Eden with Christ. We cry out to him, remember me, O Lord, in thy kingdom. And we grow with Christ into his likeness. We have his image, but I don't know about you, but I'm not very much like him. But by his grace, by choosing him above all else, I can grow in his likeness and become everything by grace that he is by nature. We were planted in that garden of paradise where we would grow. We left, but now we can return. The flaming sword is taken down, and we can return again to that glorious place. So when we look at that icon, remember, they were expelled. Don't make the same mistake. Go back. Return. And we grow by giving up those things that cling to us and control us, like mindless robots. I don't know about you, but I feel like a mindless robot sometimes with social media. Let it go. Let it go. We let go of them so we might fill our time with joy of Christ, that we might enter paradise with him. And so life, Lent, above all, is not about what we give up. Lent is about what we obtain. Don't go into the fast, oh, what are you going to give up for Lent? Forget about what you're going to give up for Lent. Ask what you're going to get out of Lent this year. What are you going to obtain out of Lent? Are you going to receive Christ in Lent? Are you going to pray a little bit harder? Are you going to give up something to make room for him? You know, are you going to forgive? Above all, forgive, remembering our own sins and knowing the necessity for us to be kind. And we'll talk more about forgiveness on next Tuesday. But there is, I'll just say, kind of precursor, just a preview of it. There's only one forgiveness in the universe, and that is the forgiveness of Christ. And so when he tells us to forgive, we forgive with his forgiveness. And that begins by we make that journey back to paradise with him. So may God be merciful to us today, especially in the divine liturgy when there's so many temptations to worry about this and that, and to let all these other things that don't matter encroach upon our prayer as we try to reach out to Christ. Because even today, in this moment, this is not something you do later, by the way, y'all. Right now, enter paradise with Christ. Right now, in this temple. Right now, in this sermon. Right now, as I speak, enter paradise with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.